You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Ah, man, Mark, help me out with this. I don't get it. What is the fascination with Justin Fields?
Oh, it's the same thing the fascination of the dunk with Anthony Edwards is. Athleticism. That's what, like, you're always looking at athleticism and you're like, oh, the potential. Oh, the potential of this guy with that athleticism. If we could just make him, you know, a quarterback. If we could just make him, you know, a guy that would pass. If we could just make him something that he's not, then with that athleticism, oh, man, he's going to be great. That's the fascination.
And you continue to hear this drumbeat out there of, why didn't the Broncos take a chance on Justin Fields? And you know, I've heard a lot of people say it, and I just roll my eyes. But I got to admit, I was kind of disappointed and surprised when I heard Zach Bye in the afternoon on a drive, the guy I have so much respect for, he joined the bandwagon, as you'll hear right here.
Are we just at the point where it's like Sean Payton has just such a type? And my pushback over these last couple months is like, yeah, it doesn't really fit the system with Sean, and you know, but because of
how sick and tired are you saying that now?
I am because it's almost like someone who just only dates blondes and refuses to date anybody else. And
stuck
it's like,
in his ways.
I know that's your preference. I know that. But gosh, there's something to this brunette too that can you at least take her on a date? And that's what this would be. Mm. It'd be dating. There's nothing, there's no big contract. Yeah. There's no fifth-year option. There's no draft investment. There's no financial investment. But the Broncos weren't interested.
I got to explore this more. Can we get Zach on? He's got to be available right now. His saint of a wife, she's the one that takes care of the kids and gets the kids ready in the morning so that Zach can show prep. I just did the air quotes. I did the air quotes. Sorry, honey. I can't help with the kids right now. I got to show prep.
That's real. That is real. That is.
Do we have him?
Where is that?
Oh, we got him? Okay. All right. Look, see, I told you. He was ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not doing anything right now.
No, he's show prepping.
He's show prepping, so he's ready to go. Good morning, Zach Bye from The Drive. How are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. To what do I owe this honor?
Well, we just played your clip from yesterday during the drive yesterday about why didn't the Broncos take a flyer on Justin Fields? You made the blonde versus brunette comparison, but what about the idea that Sean Payton just got done trying to work with a quarterback that stylistically he wasn't comfortable with? Why would he want to dive into that pool again?
Yeah, so it's obviously a good question, and this is something that we talked about for months, and I had the same sentiment and tone that you guys have. I mean, for months I shot this down because I said, hey, he's exciting, Justin Fields is, to watch on red zone, but when you actually watch on a down-to-down basis, words I would not describe Justin Fields' game with is rhythm, tempo, timing. And those are the hallmarks of the Sean Payton offense. But I did start to change my tune when we realized that he went for a sixth-round pick and he makes virtually no money and you're not going to pick up the fifth-year option. You look at the history of sixth-round picks in Denver. I mean, J.L. Skinner, Matt Henningsen, Seth Williams, Natane Muti, Juwan Winfrey, Sam Jones, Kayshon Barea, D'Angelo Henderson. I mean, you have to go back a decade to find one that actually had his cleats in the grass for the Denver Broncos. And what my extra layer to the conversation that didn't get played there is, you know, Justin Fields is an unpolished passer. If he's just passing the football, he's not good enough to win games in this league. But he does have a superpower. 2 years ago, if he finished the season and played the last game, he would have set the all-time rushing mark for a quarterback. Now, just doing that is not sustainable either. So he's very imperfect. But what have we seen Sean Payton do in his history with an aging Drew Brees? He took a dynamo athlete who is a capable thrower and an excellent runner and said, you want to know what? 8 to 10 times a game, we're going to bring in Taysom Hill, and he's going to add an extra dynamic to our offense. And that was what I was advocating for, is that if this is going to be an imperfect quarterback situation in Denver, whether it's a Jarrett Stidham or whether it's a rookie quarterback, because the cost is nothing, cost of draft pick is nothing, he makes $1.3 million, you find that in an NFL couch cushion. And because all of that is true, I said, you want to know what? I think Sean Payton should have been open to a Taysom Hill approach with, honestly, a rich man's Taysom Hill. I think Justin Fields is actually a better thrower of the ball than Taysom Hill, and he's way more a dynamic athlete at 23, 24 years old, whatever he is, than a 30-something Taysom Hill. So for all of those reasons, I was open to the idea, where in the past I was not.
See, that adding context to that conversation makes a difference to me, because as a starting quarterback, here's the thing I always look at. You have to develop, or you have to change the entirety of your offense, which means not only for the quarterback, but remember, there's 10 other guys that play offense, right? So you're changing your offensive, you know, personality and what you want to do based upon that guy's skill set. And I'm not, like, that doesn't enthrall me or enthuse me. But if you're talking about, hey, just strictly as a Taysom Hill type of weapon, where he lines up at tight end, where he lines up at running back, where he lines up, then that does actually, that adds context to it. That does make a lot more sense.
Yeah, and you know, I think in just addition to the Broncos' offense being more dynamic and likely better, it would be exciting. I mean, guys, I think that would be exciting. And it does take an outside-of-the-box thinker, which Sean has proven to be in the past. And I do wonder, and going more toward the traditional argument that you guys had of, like, you know, why would Sean... Like, Sean needs the perfect... Like, he had such a cookie-cutter quarterback for his system. It was just the perfect fit. It was like Schlereth and Evans. It just goes together. And now you look at, like, well, how can you find that again? How can you replicate that? You're probably not going to. And to a degree, I do wish that Sean, and this is personal, like a personal request, I'm kind of just thinking out loud with it. Like, can you adapt your superpower, which is a play caller, to someone who is not a perfect fit? Because the chances of you finding another perfect fit are highly unlikely. So think about this. And I think I heard you guys talk a little bit about this yesterday. And you know, and we've brought it up too. John Harbaugh was able to win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco and then tear down his offensive ideology and recreate it around Lamar Jackson. But maybe the most extreme example is Michael Malone for the Denver Nuggets, who is a defensive coach. It's taken just to the last year or two for Nikola Jokic to become a competent NBA defender. He is no longer a slouch on that end of the floor. But think about this. In 2016, think about the humility it took for defensive-minded Michael Malone and the Nuggets organization to say, this doesn't make sense to any degree in NBA history, and yet we're going to go with it. This doesn't make sense for my coaching style, my coaching approach, but this, at some point, is becoming undeniable. So we're going to change our process and adapt to the talent. Now, maybe not specific to Justin Fields, but I do wonder if at a certain point in time, Sean Payton has this intersection where he's like, guess what? Drew Brees ain't walking through that door. And I may need to adapt some of the things that I do as opposed to finding the perfect fit for my system, because I just don't know if that guy's going to be available considering the lack of draft order and draft equity to move up.
That's fair, and the point may come down the road at some point where he will have to do it, but this is a guy who averaged 10 wins a season for 15 years in New Orleans with a certain offensive philosophy, and I don't see Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay or Kevin O'Connell or Mike McDaniel. I don't see these guys. These are all system guys as well who want a certain type of quarterback playing in their offense. I don't see why Sean Payton does deserve, shouldn't demand the same kind of luxury.
Sure. And Mike, in a perfect world, I mean, think about the words you just used. Luxury. You know, the Broncos are not in a position of luxury. This is why we're having these difficult questions. That, you know, if you could pick any quarterback from this draft, I'm sure Sean Payton would have success with them. If you could pick the third quarterback, I'm sure Sean Payton would have success with them. But that's not the position the Broncos are in. So unless you're telling me that Sean will make any of these guys work, or if his favorite quarterback just happens to be the fifth sort of thought of quarterback in the class, and it's just the perfect intersection of who Sean loves and everyone else doesn't, and they love four more than Sean's guy, maybe it is the perfect intersection. But the reality is that's probably not the case. He might like two, maybe even three quarterbacks that are all going to go at the top of the draft. So he's not in a position of luxury. He's in a position of necessity. So what is he going to do? Who is going to play quarterback for the Denver Broncos? And this idea that, oh, don't worry, the Broncos are just going to be bad for a couple of years. I am not accepting that. I'm here to tell you, that sounds good in the month of March, but when we get to August and September, it's the National Football League. This isn't the NBA. This isn't Major League Baseball. You're expected to win. Why? Because it's the NFL, but also you took on the largest dead cap hit in NFL history, which, by the way, is right now. Like, even their chunk of it this year, as they divvied up in two, it's still the largest dead cap in NFL history. You did all that to move on from Russ because it gave you a better chance to win. He made that clear. He's doing this because it gives the Denver Broncos a better chance to win football games. So this idea, we're just going to give him a pass for a couple years, no. You did this because it helped you win games. So I'm expecting them to win games. Go figure it out. But the lack of resources at the quarterback position make this a sometimes scary situation, because I don't see any sort of clear path with some green lights and a perfect exit strategy that gets a Sean Payton his quarterback.
All right, Zach, get back to your show prep.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
While your wife gets your kids ready for their day.
Hey, don't cut corners, okay? She's got to change two diapers at once. That's the way it's got to be.
Yeah. All right, my man. Thanks, Zach.
All right, see you guys.
Zach, bye. From The Drive, along with Philip Lindsay. They'll be coming your way a little bit later on today at 3 o'clock. Continue that debate. All right, that's a different angle on the Justin Fields debate.
I think they started two.
Two o'clock. You're right. Sorry about that. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock with The Drive. 2 to 6. Right after Dover and Stoke. Let's unpack what he had to say about Fields and Sean Payton next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house. Even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto-pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Couple mock drafts crossed our desk this morning.
This song makes me happy. I don't even know what it is, but it just makes me feel like I'm going on a road trip.
Mel Kiper with his third mock draft so far.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue, I can't talk about Mel Kiper without hearing my Mel.
Dad. Dad.
Todd.
I know, it's Caliendo. It's Caliendo doing. Dot. Mel's got the Broncos taking Bo Nix at 12.
Bo Nix.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, former NFL scout, has the Broncos taking Brock Bowers at 12.
I love it.
I know you like that. And his board is a lot different, by the way, where he has his quarterbacks going. He has quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm. Different.
He has Washington taking Drake May and the Patriots taking Jaden Daniels. He has J.J. McCarthy in a trade going 4 to the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Then his next quarterback is not Bo Nix. It's Michael Penix.
Really?
He has Penix going to the Raiders at 13. In fact, I'm just looking at Daniel Jeremiah's here really quick. Mm-hmm. Does he have Bo Nix in the first round?
Bo Nix.
Does he have Bo Nix in the first round?
Bo Nix better be in first
round. He does not have Bo Nix in the first round.
What?
That's interesting. He's got Penix, who many people think has dropped out of the first round, in the first round, and he's got Bo Nix out of the first round. So, how about that?
Yeah, interesting. Bo Nix out of the first round.
Why can't you have Bo Nix out of the first round?
You cannot have Bo Nix out of the first round.
just you love Bo.
Bo Nix.
You love Bo Nix. We just had Zach Bion. Zach actually he lent some context to his comment yesterday. Why not take a flyer on Justin Fields? And he's not the only one. Plenty of people have suggested why not for a sixth round pick. Why not? But he adds some context that I found interesting. He said, why not use Justin Fields as a Taysom Hill type?
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton discovered Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Could you do that with Justin Fields? Now, I don't think Justin Fields would agree to that. I think Justin Fields wanted to go to a place where he was still going to be able to play quarterback. I think he pictures himself as a quarterback mm-hmm. and not a Taysom Hill Swiss gadget, Swiss Army knife gadget type. Yeah. So right away, that probably wasn't going to happen. But if you're talking about spending a six-round pick on Justin Fields to try to develop him into a Taysom Hill type, I'm all aboard for that.
Right.
Just as long as he's not playing quarterback all the time.
Well, I think one thing that you have to understand also is, and again, this comes down to the nuance of football. Taysom Hill, you think of him as a quarterback slash or running back slash or tight end slash QB. Okay? So that's how you think of Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's a football player. So Taysom Hill will line up, Mike, get this now, go with me on this. He'll line up as the X, Z, or the F in a three wide set, the F being the slot receiver. Then he'll line up as the Y, the regular tight end, or the F tight end, depending on if you're in 12 personnel, the backup tight end would then become the F, right? As opposed to a slot receiver. He becomes a new slot receiver. Then he'll line up at fullback and running back. So right now I've got him at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 distinct positions and QB on offense, okay? So 8 distinct positions that he'll line up in on offense. He's the personal protector on pump pro. He runs down on kickoff. Like, you understand that to all of a sudden say, well, Justin Fields could play the Taysom Hill role. Well, he could play quarterback, and you could probably put him at running back, but he's not blocking people at tight end. He's not doing, like, so can you? That's you know, great, as I think about
we,
it,
we
can
this,
you?
Didn't they try to do the same thing with Tebow? Remember? Hey, if Tebow can't play every down quarterback in the NFL, turn him into a football player. Well, they tried, right? Who tried to play him at tight end until he tried to make one block and it was like, oh,
the Jets, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the time, I worked with their GM at ESPN. He offered him a contract to come play tight end and basically said, we're going to keep you on the team, and we're just going to work until you become this guy. You know, and we're going to – so he basically had guarantees to, you know, you're going to get an opportunity here, and we're going to work with you so that you can become a gadget guy, a Swiss Army guy. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't interested in that.
It's because he wanted to chase his real dream of playing
baseball. Correct. So, I mean – as intrigued as that I sounded at first with that, then I started thinking about after we let Zach go during the commercial break, going, okay, wait a minute. Let me just think about all the games I've done in New Orleans with Taysom. Covers kickoffs, you know, kick return. He's on punt cover as a personal protector. Like he does, like Fields can't do all that.
Zach brought up the idea that maybe Sean Payton needs to adapt what he wants to do and be willing to do something different. You hired Sean Payton. You traded for Sean Payton. You paid Sean Payton. You gave him the power of Sean Payton because of what he did in New Orleans. So why would you bring him here and then say, hey, we want you to change the style with which you coach offense? It makes no sense. It'd be literally if you tomorrow hired Kyle Shanahan or hired Sean McVay or hired Mike McDaniel or any of these offensive-minded head coaches, why would you be hiring them? You'd be hiring them because of what they bring as an offensive coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you'd be hiring them. Why then would you then expect Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay? If all of a sudden the Broncos could have Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay as their coach tomorrow, would you be pushing for them to bring in a quarterback stylistically different from the one that they have coached in the past?
No,
of course not.
No, but here's the difference. This is where people, and this is the nuance of football that people didn't understand of the changes that were made in the offense last year. So, for instance, when Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan drafted RG3, Kyle went to the college game and to the Baylor offense and to different people who ran that and pilfered a bunch of stuff from that offense. So it became part of what they were doing, but they were still basing out of the wide zone stuff, but then they created the run pass option stuff out of that. Mm-hmm. They recreated the zone read running game out of that. They created so they were still based in what they do, but they used it as an adjunct to complement RG3 and what he was capable of playing.
The only problem with that is they didn't want RG3. That was a pick they didn't want, and they further showed how much they did not want RG3 because later in that same draft, they picked Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, in the fourth round.
That was the quarterback they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because what? They have a style of offense they wanted to play. Kirk Cousins represented that style. They didn't want RG3. Now, they were told to take RG3. They had RG3 foisted upon them. So, yeah, they had to try to make it work.
Foisted or hoisted?
Foisted. But
foisted isn't...
No, foisted.
Like,
foisted.
Foisted is like a no, lie,
no,
isn't it?
No, foisted like is it's foisted foist? Upon you. It's like, you know...
No, I don't think that's right.
Well, it's far closer than hoisted.
Do you hoist something on
somebody? No, you don't do that. You foist somebody...
Foist.
Onto that's somebody. It's something you don't want. It's foisted upon you.
Impose.
There you go.
Boom, an unwelcome mm-hmm. or unnecessary... person or thing.
Mm-hmm.
Foist.
Yeah.
Okay.
RG3 was foisted upon Mike Shanahan. He did not want to coach RG3 stylistically. He wanted to coach Kirk Cousins, which is why even though they took RG3, what, 2 overall?
Yeah, I believe so.
Later on in that same draft, they took Kirk Cousins because that's the quarterback that Mike wanted. Stylistically, system.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to hire these guys, you got to let them coach the system that they want to coach, that they're comfortable with. Otherwise, why trade for him? Why pay him? Why give him all the power? Just to say, come here and coach a different style.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? For the time being, if Sean Payton wants to be stuck with his system, fine. God bless. Go do it. Because you know what? Kyle Shanahan has a system. Sean McVay has a system. Mike McDaniel has a system. Kevin O'Connell has a system that they believe in, that they're comfortable with. They want to coach their systems. Why can't Sean Payton coach his?
Okay. I agree with you. Hey, listen, man, you're not going to get an argument from me.
And for all of you who don't like Sean Payton, fine. You get to get rid of Sean Payton tomorrow. And I'm going to give you a chance to have your choice. Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay. Pick one to replace Sean Payton. Take whoever you want.
Right.
You understand that guy's going to come in here with the idea that he's got a system and he's got a particular type of quarterback he wants to play it.
Correct.
Okay.
We're going to have systems.
Nick Sirianni has systems.
Yeah.
And he plays rock, paper, scissors.
Mm-hmm.
Not he's rock, scissor, papers. Or however you say it. Whatever. What's trending next?
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
CSU tonight. Good luck to the Rams. Same thing for the Buffs tomorrow, but Rams up first in the play-in tournament. Not quite March Madness. Doesn't have that March Madness feel. No. But, hey, it's a tournament game. It's a playoff game. Win or go home. Survive in advance. All that kind of good stuff. Yeah. And Nico Medved and the Rams ready to take on a Virginia team that he's quite familiar with.
Tony and Virginia, they're one of the best, if not the best, defensive coach team in the country. They're going to play one of the slowest tempos in the country. They're going to make you guard for long periods of time, and so you're going to have to be tough-minded.
Virginia's good. They're a solid team, but they're nowhere near, which is why they're in the play-in tournament, nowhere near the Virginia team that we've seen in recent years, that was a championship contender. This year, they were 23-10. Had some bad losses along the way. Finished third in the ACC, but they had some losses along the way. And recently, check this out: in just the last couple of weeks, they lost at Duke by 25. They lost at Virginia Tech by 34. So this is a team that has struggled at times, especially on the road. Neutral site game tonight. God bless you. But
thank you.
Rams, by the way, are favored.
Are they?
And the line opened at 1.5. CSU was favored, and it jumped up to 2.5 last time I checked. So a lot of sharps coming in on the Rams.
Well, it's not like it's a big... Big time.
Yeah, it takes a lot to move a line by a point.
Okay.
So good luck to
take
the Rams.
For it.
Go get the win. 7 o'clock tonight. We'll have it for you here on The Fan. If you're out and about, want to listen to the game, we'll have the game for you here on The Fan. Tom Crean, former college basketball coach, now doing ESPN commentary, really upset with some of these programs from power schools, power conferences, choosing not to play in the NIT.
Each coach's choice, I get it, but if you take away a chance to play the games, to put your team on the floor, let them opt out. All right, the bowl season has it all the time. Let it happen. Who cares? Give your players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing, wow, and don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit down. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put 5, 6, 7 people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
I love the passion, but come on, man. You're trying to compare it to the bowl season. The bowl season was a joke this year.
It is a joke.
The bowl season is, because of the portal, these bowl games, other than the playoff games, were just...
How many times do you see a quarterback starting his first
game
in a bowl game?
Exactly. So that's a lot of what... Because the portal is already open in college basketball.
And by the way,
guys are already leaving. So
yeah, by the way, not only the portal, but if you've got a potential to go to the NFL draft, why would you play in a bowl game?
Right.
The risk of injury is far greater to me than anything you're going to benefit from the bowl game. Right?
So I get if you're in the NCAA tournament, of course, you're taking it seriously. Guys aren't looking to leave yet.
Yeah.
But if your only other option is the NIT, and you're running the risk of losing guys in the portal, right, and you got to... I'd rather my school take its time and work on keeping guys from leaving, or immediately go out and find their replacements rather than go and play in something silly as the NIT.
I never understood the NIT anyhow.
That's lost. Yeah, it's just.
It's a bunch of mediocre teams playing each other.
Well,
what do you do, Basil?
It's a chance to make some money, and honestly, you know why a lot of programs love it. Coaches love it.
Because they get young guys experience.
Well, that too, but it also counts as I made it to the postseason. And there are bonuses and things like that.
If you get contract a bonus triggers for the NIT.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
All right.
Hey, I don't get the appeal of soccer, but man, there is no doubt that soccer means a lot to a lot of people around the country. I mean, around the world, too.
Yeah, oh
so,
yeah.
So they recently had this football match on Sunday in Turkey,
mm-hmm,
where the fans were so upset with the performance of the home team that the fans of the team that lost, jumped out on the field and started fighting with the opposing players.
Really?
Just Malice at the Palace times 50.
You know you where you never see that? In a football game or a hockey game. Fans coming out there because they just get throttled. Let's go pick up. Let's go beat up the football players.
True.
You would fans would not be that. That's the problem with soccer. Although if 50 fans decided to jump on, you know, the quarterback, quarterback's going to lose. No.
Yeah, he is.
No.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. Just numbers.
False.
Well, because, but you've got 53 guys on the roster. Unless, you know, they don't like the quarterback. And then they'll let him get beat up. But it's going to take one dude knocking a mother out for 44 of those 50 guys to go, oh, tuck their tail between their legs. And
but as much as you don't like soccer, and I know you don't, are you at least sort of almost like impressed and respect the passion
the
for
hooligans?
Which, well, the passion for which soccer fans defend their team. Do you have a certain, like, all right, for example, like if I were to put together my bucket list of sports events I want to see before I kick the bucket, I would love to go to a major, like I'd love to go see Manchester United play, I don't know, give me a team, Liverpool or something, right?
I have a problem with the name Man U.
Why? You're Man 101.
I know, but it just seems what? Like the Man University seems like.
So if I want to go see Manchester United play Richmond.
Oh, it's Man United.
Now, if I want to go see Liverpool play Richmond.
I thought it was, you know, Man University.
I would love
all
to see.
Boys school.
I really don't care about the match itself, but I would love to be part of the crowd. I think that'd be fun.
Dude, when I was doing a game in London, I got to open up Tottenham Stadium.
Okay.
First game called in Tottenham. And to drive through to get to Tottenham, you had to go through where, I guess it was Man U was playing. And unbelievable how crowded the streets are. And it is an event. And it took us forever. Like, we had to leave the hotel way, way earlier than normal because there's so much traffic to get to the stadium. I did have that sense, man. I'd just like to go sit in a crowd at a major, you know, soccer match.
Yeah, I think it'd be a blast. But I think it would be fun. It would certainly make it spicy if all of a sudden the Raiders came in here and beat the Broncos again, and Bronco fans just said, you know what?
We've had enough.
Yeah. And 1,000 Bronco fans just storm the field and start beating up Raider players. That would be awesome.
That would be.
That would be awesome.
That would be cool.
It would be cool. You know?
Right, but then we'd,
I think it'd be great.
I mean, what happened to those fans? They probably don't get a lifetime ban either. They're like, oh, you crazies. Right?
Coming up next, we preview what's on tap tonight and why I'm rooting for an Avalanche win, but a certain kind of win. And Mark with a film review.
Yes.
Next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Some of the reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line to that Turkish soccer game that ended up with fans coming out of the stands to fight the players. This one. Any fan that storms the field and punches a Raiders player gets honorary Ring of Fame ceremony. That would be cool. Mike, it's a freaking game. What's the matter with you? Grow up, Tony and Castle Rock.
Tony,
come on.
Have some fun.
Have some fun. Just kind of imagine what it would be like.
Settle down just a little bit.
And are you telling me that you've never, as a fan, been in a game and said, oh, I'd love to come out there and just... listening to you guys try to talk soccer is lame. We weren't talking soccer.
No.
Nobody. We're talking about soccer fans.
We're not talking...
Soccer is boring.
Yeah.
Soccer fans are interesting.
We've never talked about soccer.
Yeah.
Why would we?
I just told you. I said,
and
I would,
that's no cap.
I would love to go to a Premier League soccer game. Not to see the game. I don't care about the game.
Right.
Just to watch the environment and, you know, the chants and the costumes and the singing and everything like that.
I would love to go sit.
I don't care about the match.
I would love to go sit, like, in a Man U section and then just get under their skin and see how many hooligans would try to jump me.
Yeah, right. Come get a taste.
Like I did when I was at the Super Bowl entertaining Fox guests, you know, major sponsors, corporate donors, and things of that nature. And I was sitting in the Kansas City section, and I'm the only guy in there, you know, rooting for the Niners and just killing Kansas City fans. It was great, and they all wanted to beat me up, but they all knew. They all thought twice.
But then they came back to win.
Oh, dude, they were in my face, dude. Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
You had to wear it, huh?
I did. I just had to wear it. It was great, though. I had a great time. Oh. I think the hooligans would try to...
They wouldn't care about you. They would go after you.
They would go after
you. They don't care.
I want to pound his ass.
You know what?
Soccer fan. Here we go.
Okay.
Mark thought that Man U was men only. He didn't know it stood for Manchester. Is he trying to be funny? Or is this just throwing shade on soccer because you guys don't get soccer?
It's throwing shade on soccer because soccer is weak. Man, you. I'm a pecker. Yeah, I'm a pecker. Yeah. Dude, it's man you. I know exactly what it stands for. It's man you. Dude, you'd have to change their name. Hey, guys, listen. We're going to change our name.
People talking smack on soccer is because they're not athletic when a ball is at their feet, so they knock and mock the sport.
I hear words that trigger me. The not athletic. Right. Soccer fans are so easily triggered.
Oh, they are triggered.
Oh, God.
Who's triggered more easily? Soccer fan or hockey fan?
I think soccer fan. I think hockey fan is a little tougher than soccer fan.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Soccer fan is very, like, if, like, Ronaldo, or if Messi came in here, he'd fit under this desk. He's 5 foot. He might be 4'11". Johnny could eat eggs off Messi's head.
It's true. Johnny would tower.
Johnny would be like, hey, what's up, little guy?
Mm-hmm. I do love triggering soccer fans.
Oh, I know.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I know.
I probably shouldn't be so transparent. I shouldn't be so honest. But look, I love triggering you, soccer fans, because it's so easy.
By the way. Oh, go ahead.
Soccer is boring, says a guy who knows nothing about it and announces it loudly.
I know. By the way.
How can the rest of the world be so wrong?
I watched one of the great sports movies I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is time for your
my movie
review. All right, go ahead.
One of the great sports movies I've actually ever seen, and I'm being dead serious right now. Boys in the Boat.
Yeah, okay. Keep going. I've been kind of curious about seeing this. This is that George Clooney film, right?
Yeah, but it's about the Washington crew team from 1936 that won the Olympics. And it's a really good film. It's a really intriguing film, and you know, I mean, it's based off a true story, and it's a really good sports film. One of the best sports films I've watched.
Really? One of the best
one
sports
of the
films?
Best sports films
You'd
I've ever watched.
You put it up there with Bull Durham, Rocky. Field of Dreams, Hoosiers, you'd put her up there.
Yeah,
with all of them.
This is off a true story. This is not, you know, Rocky, or this is not Bull Durham, or this is a true story. It's an inspirational story. It is a great sports movie. And it goes to show you back in 1936 how hard up people were for entertainment, because apparently people like to go watch them row boats.
Oh, yeah, no, they still do.
What?
Oh, yeah. The head of the Charles Regatta in Boston. That's a huge event. That's a party event. Let's be honest. It's an excuse to get together and party
right
on the banks of the
when
River
they were
Charles.
At the, but what's, yeah, what's the regatta in oh, gosh. What was the New York regatta? It was the big regatta. So I think it starts with a P. Forget what the name of the town was. But they had the railroad track right alongside the river, the Hudson. Right. And so the railroad, they had a car and the car followed the rowers. So everybody sat and it was like an open car for open seating. And you just rolled down the track that followed the rowers.
No kidding.
Yeah. 1936. Who knew?
Noah, what's softer, soccer fan or Chris Bryant's back?
Ouch.
Evan, stop trying to talk soccer. You're embarrassing yourself. Richmond is a fictional team from Ted Lasso. No. Really? Like I said, they're so easy to trigger. It's so easy.
Yeah,
I did that on purpose. On. I want to go see Manchester United play Richmond. Just knowing it. No, they're fake. That's not a real team.
I didn't even know. Oh, man, soccer fan. Come on.
Man.
I took a dump that was harder than soccer fan. So soft.
Look, I can't. Look, soccer fan, I'm sorry. We're just never going to meet on this one. I don't get it. I know it's the most popular sport in the world. I know billions of people watch the World Cup. I get all that. I just don't get it.
Man, you're not getting. You know, you're not going to get any.
Occasionally, there will be some plays made, some goals scored, where you're like, "Wow, that's some incredible athleticism." There just aren't enough of them. That's the problem. There just aren't enough of them.
Oh, dude, I think it's amazing what they do with the ball on their feet, right? And the way they can make the ball, they can bend the ball, and they can do all that stuff. It's just
bend it, huh?
Oh yeah,
like bend Beckham. It like who? Yeah,
like Beckham. I think it's amazing. Really amazing. All right. I'd rather just watch trick shots.
But you just, and soccer fan has no comeback for this. How in the world can the biggest sporting event on the planet, which is the World Cup, biggest sporting event on the planet, like I said, billions of people watch it. It is the holy grail of all events to win, and your ultimate game can be decided on penalty kicks. It literally would be playing the Super Bowl and deciding the Super Bowl on a field goal competition. Harrison Butker, you get 5 kicks.
Yeah.
And Will Lutz, you get 5 kicks. And whoever kicks best wins the Super Bowl.
Right.
Dumb.
That is dumb.
And you know what?
Point. You got no comeback
and
for that
soccer
guy.
And you know, soccer fan, you know you don't have a comeback for that one.
Well, you can't.
Right now, you're just fuming. Right now, you're like,
soccer,
he's right, but I hate him.
A soccer fan will be like, you don't understand. You go 90 minutes, then you go extra time, which nobody knows what the actual extra time is because it's a secret time. It's a magic time. And after that, you're so exhausted because you've run for at least 120 minutes. No, you haven't. You trotted. You trot. Soccer players trot. Every now and again, they run, a 20-yard sprint. Ooh, exhausting. And then they trot. The rest of the time, they just trot. They got the trots. Classic case of the trots.
Yeah. So, soccer fan.
Settle down just a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Hey, by the way, hey, check it out.
This is about
Boys
handing
on
out.
The boat.
Yeah, it sounds good. I'm going to start it out. We're giving you our opinion. This is what this show is about. We give you our opinion. You get together with your friends. You guys share your opinions. You guys talk sports, whatever. You have opinions. My opinion is soccer's lame. Okay? Leave it at that. Good luck tonight to the Rams. Let's get a hat trick. What do you say?
Yeah.
Want the Rams to beat Virginia.
Nuggets
to beat the Timberwolves. And I want the Avalanche to beat the Blues in a shootout or overtime.
Right.
I want the Blues to get a point. I want the Avs to get two, but I want the Blues to get one so they can further close the gap between them and Vegas and maybe knock Vegas out of the playoffs. So let's see if we can't make that happen. Dover and Stoke coming up next.